Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Love to embarrass me when we come in and when I'm leading the hour. All the cards are on the table. We did the show that has preached Lakers in five. Will we be right or will we be wrong? Well, it doesn't really matter because we won't admit it's Friday and y'all can deal with it on the weekend. Welcome back to Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and the ESPN app. Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And speaking of which, in about 10 minutes, we will get to hear again the key takeaway from Dave Roberts, who we're so happy to have join us here on Jhené and Golic Jr., Dodgers manager, who had a pretty interesting revelation that he shared with us. As he joined us not too long ago, the Dodgers are back in action in a few days. But tonight, game five, Lakers with a chance to win a championship. It is, as we like to call on our show, a must-win game. I feel so powerful when that happens. I'm sorry. Like, I raise my hand.
Voice of God, you just call for
like,
it right
like,
there.
Like we're at the pulpit in church. You know what? We both were, you know, we're both Catholic, so...
Come up with me. It is so true when the lady who's leading like the singing in church goes up there and she's like doing the first verse by herself and she's going in and all that, and then all of a sudden she raises the hands and the rest of the church is supposed to sing. A lot of times, quite frankly, my church didn't hold up its end of the bargain, so I had to be out here singing extra loud, but
yeah,
I
couldn't do it. But my parents did sing loud. They did sing loud, but like we said, it's a must-win game for the Miami Heat, and we had the boss, Rick Ross, on earlier with his take. But Junior, what do you think it'll take for the Heat to be able to use our favorite word and stave off elimination?
Jhené, like an act of God at this point, because you'd have to count on a couple of things, I think. The Lakers are the better team, full stop, period, end of sentence. I'm not saying anything revelatory there, but in that situation, we know what it takes on the other side then to win. I mean, hell, I was on the other side of some of those matchups where you go in and you're the overmatched team. You've got to hope that the Lakers have an off night. Maybe LeBron James and company are already planning out the champagne showers in the locker room after this game. Maybe they're already thinking about getting out of the bubble like everyone else who's been cooped up in here. And then you got to hope that, all right, Jimmy Butler goes off for another 40-point triple-double in this situation. Bam Adebayo is a defensive force of nature in this. You get a Tyler Hero game. Wrap that all up together, because that's the kind of night you're going to need on this stage. When we know LeBron James, chance to close it out on the final stage, 3-0 in those instances before, has a chance to go 4-0. So unlikely. So essentially an act of God.
Yeah, I mean, and I said it earlier, Eric Spoelstra said it best. You have to play a perfect game. And the one thing that I think is erring on the side of the Heat is they embrace being othered, you know, being the underdog. And also just knowing that it's going to take this type of effort to win. Like, they have no choice but to produce like that. And I think we sort of saw a smidge of that in the Milwaukee Bucks. Remember when Giannis left and they started playing their better basketball because they had no choice but to play good basketball at this time. So that could be the Heat strength, the sense that we have to do this now. There's no other buffer time. And you can catch a lot of people, because if you're thinking about pressure, they have no pressure. You've said it this whole time here. The Heat have already won, right?
Exactly. No pressure for this team. They've already made it in this instance just by going and beating the Bucks the way that they did, working their way through the East in a way no one believed they could. So make no mistake, there are no losses. There is no losing for the Miami Heat. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Jeff Van Gundy, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
Listen, for Miami, there's no losing tonight. You either get to escape this bubble or you get to go one more game and give yourself a chance. And I think Miami will give a Miami effort. I think they're going to play exceptionally hard. I think they're going to know what they want to do to combat some of the things that LA did in game four. And I think they're going to play well. Now, the thing I would say is, do they have enough offense in the fourth quarter, especially if Anthony Davis's size continues to bother Jimmy Butler? Where would they get that offense from? But I have no doubt how hard they'll compete.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Jhené, I'd ask you this, because this is something you've played on a lot of big stages in your career. And for a team like the Heat, where outside of Jimmy Butler, who's, you know, oozes all this veteran-like confidence, and, you know, Andre Iguodala there too, but when we talk about some of the other role players, younger players who have gone by on that too young to know what they don't know in a lot of these situations. This seems like one where an elimination game in the NBA Finals, can we count on Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, and some of these other guys to not pucker a little bit when the lights get this bright?
So that's the biggest adjustment that happened. The difference between the first round, the second round, like what we've seen with them sort of emerge and play free and play their best version of basketball earlier versus now, it's way harder. Kendrick Nunn, I know a lot of people are watching him play and probably like cringed a little bit, like, oh, a little bit too much of Kendrick Nunn. We need to see a little bit more of Jimmy Butler. Same with Tyler Hero. You know, he shoots. And so when things aren't going his way, it just feels like you're adding 2 points to the Lakers because that's what they wanted you to do. They wanted these young players to come in confident and also understand that, hey, like to win, like it comes with experience and time. So these guys, this is why what the Miami Heat have done is already so impressive. These guys are learning veteran lessons right now as young players. And so it works for them both ways. Learning on the fly, but also having that young naivete where, oh shoot, this is a big stage. What are you talking about? We just in a bubble, we just hooping. And that's why you're seeing them still play confidently against, oh, that's LeBron James. Oh, that's Anthony Davis. Oh, that's Rajon Rondo, who actually knows how to like slow down other teams' point guards and like captain an offense. And that's Dwight Howard, who I grew up, like he was playing when I probably wasn't born, you know, almost to that degree. Like that works in the favor of these young players on the Heat, but it also can work against them as well.
I think bringing up the bubble portion of that is a really interesting note too, because you don't have the crowds in this instance, the travel that reminds you of all this stuff. It really is. It's more monotonous. That's kind of why Jeff was saying, man, like, they really can't lose because they finally get to leave all that monotony. We talked about that and heard from Malika Andrews, our own ESPN NBA reporter on the ESPN Daily, talking about that routine and that monotony in there, which does bring up an interesting point in all this, Chiney, because depending how this goes tonight, we might be crowning a champion. And I'm curious, and actually you can weigh in on this, because we know Seattle Storm already champions of the WNBA. They were crowned in that bubble earlier on. If the Lakers win, do they get to leave that night and try and celebrate outside of the bubble, or stay inside the bubble where you know we are free from this virus, everyone has done a great job of keeping that on the burner, and get to like probably celebrate with a little more oomph inside the bubble?
So I don't know what their travel plans are, because as we're learning from a variety of different sources throughout different sports, they don't know what their schedule is. They just focus on the game, and after the game happens, it's like, oh, wait, hold on, we won? Wait, that means we can leave? I would assume they'd probably stay the night just because you know, like you didn't foresee that. And then, yeah, they honestly, when they leave the bubble, it's still going to be iconic for them, whether they're able to be around a lot of people or just a limited group. But what I will say is what I learned from Sue Bird. Sue Bird said, hey, we won the championship. And it was kind of awkward because the confetti comes down and usually you hear the crowd roaring, or at least the crowd doing something, and it's really quiet. And so you're sort of like, you've seen those videos on social media of like people dancing and like you hearing the squeak, 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 squeak. Like that was the championship moment for the Storm. But hey, it's still worth it because they still got the trophy. So
no, they did. But you're right. It's a great point. You're so used to it. And certainly for Sue and a lot of the other members of that roster that are champions in so many regards already. I mean, it's what championship hasn't Sue Bird won at this point? But you're so conditioned to that moment being like the catharsis after all of this. And it does have to be, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but in some ways, based on what she's experienced before, absolutely.
A lot of their family and friends that normally would be there are not going to be there. And I remember seeing the Storm when they won. You look at the virtual fans and everyone's waving, but that still hits different.
It does. It's never going to quite be the same. That being said, that party inside the bubble, if they do close it out tonight, I have a feeling is going to be probably the biggest party we've ever seen on Disney property. So I hope they're all prepared for what's about to come in that one. J.R. Smith, will see if he keeps the shirt on or off, soup in hand or
off
on the table.
It's off. And he's going immediately to Instagram Live.
Oh, my God. Everybody be dialed in. I remember the IG Live love that was the Women's World Cup celebration after that one summer. So looking forward to seeing what comes up with the Lakers tonight. We'll see if the Heat can do, our favorite word around here, stave off elimination. But you said all the differences that we've seen inside the world of sports throughout this time during the pandemic, everyone dealing with something. Coming up next, we had a guest on earlier who had a realization with us on this show. We'll tell you what that was next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The party. Oh, the party is just getting started because we have an encore. Wait, hold on. Am I hearing encore? Encore. We might turn up a little bit later again, but more importantly, you came out with the most important stat of the day when it comes to this song, Mike Gold Jr.
Yes, and a friend of the show, Mufasa, who we had, YouTube sensation, that really started this revolution of joy and happiness on Friday all around here and on Instagram, is the one-year anniversary of that video going viral last year on Instagram. So shout out to Mufasa. I am out of breath from twerking. Because it's hard.
Wait, hold on. You're going to learn about me, your work wife. Do you know what my middle name is? You just said it.
No, I don't. Tire? Out of breath?
Joy.
Joy. Oh, wow. That's
lovely.
That
is my middle name. Yes.
My middle name's just Louis. Yours is way cooler.
Louis. Oh, I love this. Louis. You are forever Louis to me. Speaking of which, Lakers, and the Heat are not the only big game five tonight. Welcome back to Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and the ESPN app. But first, in a few minutes, we will get you all squared away when it comes to Sunday in the NFL. Is your favorite team or player in the friend zone? Uh-oh. Or in the end zone? Did they get a snowflake? That's an inside joke. But before we get there, let's go back to baseball, where the Yankees and the Rays are evened up and now square off for a chance tonight to face Houston in the ALCS. And we have to run the sound back because we talked about it earlier and we had so much fun with Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. And he had quite a bit of a revelation, Junior.
It was really impressive. Check this out when the Dodgers manager was on with us earlier, looking forward towards the next round, finally.
Well, you know what's interesting is I just realized, I'm embarrassed to say this, is that I just realized yesterday that we're going to play, we got a couple days off, and we got the Braves, and we play seven in a row. So I thought that the division series, we're going to play five in a row, and then once we get to the league championship series, the World Series, it's a day off in between in that series. But so we got seven games in a row. So now kind of, with a couple days off to recalibrate, rest our guys, position players, the guys in the pen, looked at, I think our depth we're going to have to tap into, but I think that is a position of strength. So kind of going through now, we're going to start kind of thinking through the Braves and what best way to attack those guys.
And Jhené, you and I both sort of laughed because we know this, especially when you're in the middle of any season, let alone one that we know the playoff format different from Major League Baseball this year, things happening a lot quicker, but you're still just trying to keep track of the air in front of your face. And so it's no surprise that Dave Roberts, who's been going out there and they've been battling the Padres in this last series, had no idea what was coming up next because you don't have time to worry about that most often.
Yeah, getting in the mindset of an athlete, usually, and it's funny because I sort of still am in this mindset. My family's like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, what are you talking about weekend? We got work today. And so I can't even wrap my head around what's happening next because we're so present, whether it's us on the show or, you know, we come straight from locker rooms, us when we're preparing, you can't look past your opponent. You have to stay in the present and stay in the now. And I think, you know, we hear it in baseball and the MLB through Dave Roberts, but then we also had a similar moment with Jamal Murray, right? He was like, huh? That's 48 hours? 48 hours until we have to play? That's the reality of the different dynamic nature of what we are fighting against COVID, especially in sports. And so now hearing it in different forms, it just makes me laugh. But also, it's like when you can sweep, that is a huge advantage. You know, being able to get that rest instead of now looking at the, you know, other series in which things are evened up, like that is an advantage, you know, sort of resting in this year out of other years.
Yeah, it's especially trying to manage through what's gone on here as each round has been so different, as the entire tenor around the postseason has been different. They're going up against a red-hot Braves team who, albeit hadn't played a lot of tough competition leading up to this. And for the Dodgers, this is the other part that's fascinating about this with me, Jhené, is being the wire-to-wire best team in any sport is extremely difficult. When the Dodgers acquired Mookie Betts in February, they became the odds-on favorite to win the World Series, and all they've gone out and done every step of the way is looked exactly like that team in a sport where I'd argue baseball's probably the hardest just because of how random success tends to be at times to actually go out and perform that way. Like, I really go back and look at the 2016 Cubs who won the World Series as one of the first real examples I had seen in my lifetime of a team managing to pull that off.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because the team that's doing that, two of them in different sports, are both in LA. And so I wonder if the pressures of being in this city, and I say this because that's where I currently am, sort of help these guys understand that it's not going to be easy. And we've dealt with all forms of pressure. You know, I said earlier, beat LA is a chant that like everyone uses in all other arenas. But you know what? On the show, I've said a couple of times, like, sometimes big city teams struggle, right? And so these different environments might work to their advantage, where you're not dealing with the hustle and bustle of the city and a lot of the distractions that could be out there, whether you're finishing playing and then going and seeing family members, like, and there are also like events to be going to. To think about the MLB, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Astros, the Braves, Atlanta, New York, Houston, LA, still alive and well, you got to put respect on them.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Astros and all this, because we know certainly with the Dodgers, there is no love lost in that relationship. And Dave Roberts, you mentioned, was one of the guys that helped welcome you out to the city of Los Angeles when you came over to the Sparks. And they've been trying to convert you into a Dodgers fan. You're already on the show today rocking Dodger blue. And in the face, they said they're trying to pull you away from your hometown Houston Astros. So have you been getting blown up on Twitter? Because yet again, you went side pieces in the NFL, and now it seems like the Dodgers are trying to be even more than that.
Yes, definitely hit us up, because we will give you news straight from the Chinay and Golic Jr. Nation Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Chinay. Whoa, I was going to say at Chinay. It's at Chinay, just my first name, at Mike Golic Jr. And so on our Twitter feed, it's funny. So I got texts, you know, within the Dodgers, and like, oh, did you talk about, like, are we converting her to the Dodgers? I think it's hilarious. Jamal Robinson says, at Chinay, don't go to the dark side, the Dodgers. Stay true to your roots as an Astros fan. I know the sun and nice weather is hypnotic in LA, but rep the H-Town. Keep up the great work. I could be in a very, very difficult dilemma once again, as we've seen what happens in the MLB postseason. And unfortunately, look, I'm putting it out to the universe. I have a Dodgers jersey. They gave me a Dodgers jersey. Am I not supposed to wear it? Where are my Astros? Where's my jersey? That's all I'm going to ask.
This is the difference, by the way, between the athlete fan and the regular fan, because I think most people who are true diehard fans of a team would look at that and say, you're supposed to not wear it. You're supposed to look it away.
I haven't worn it.
Well, that's the thing, is I feel like our hearts, our athletic fandom hearts, are for sale on here, right? Like, I started watching the English Premier League this summer as we were looking in the vast wasteland of sports. The Premier League did a great job of getting back, and I was looking around watching it, and God love Mike Ryan, producer of the Dan Le Batard Show, who also hosts a great Chelsea-related podcast, the Chelsea FC in the Premier League, sent me a jersey, and now I'm a Chelsea fan. Like, it is just that simple for us sometimes.
It's so simple. I mean, you know what's funny? The funniest part, you know which NBA team sent me a jersey? Ooh. And it was actually pretty fire, but, like, I don't know. I it's in the back of my closet. The Clippers.
Wow.
Lakers, where you at?
See, I love this angling for free stuff. Chinay, you really do work in radio now. It is amazing.
Wait, we need to do this for food, though.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, we're going to do it for a little bit of everything here. As soon as our boss...
Tuna Tartare, where you at?
It gets sponsored by Tuna Tartare. It's a dish. It's not even a brand.
You're right. Chipotle, where you at? They with me, though. They with me. They with us.
Oh, my God. Coverage of the Yankees and the Rays is going to begin on ESPN Radio for some of y'all starting at 6:45.
I got a better one. Okay. Nobu, where you at?
Shout out to Yellowtail, a big fan of cooking meat on little hot rocks for myself in these situations. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Chinay and Golic Jr. here, and coming up next, we got to get you right. Before we just steer this thing fully off the cliff here, it is fully too damn Friday. We got to get you ready for the NFL weekend. That is, and we know it's been moved around. It's a little disjointed because of COVID, but we got a round of end zone or friend zone letting you know who's going to get a win. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm here for the Monica energy, because she speaks to all of our feelings and emotions, and we might as well lean into it. So you're going to hit the love line. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about booze, side pieces. Yes, side piece. You are safe here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Chinay Ogunbowale, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, in about 10 minutes, the dance party will continue, because it's too damn Friday and we have an encore, and you're going to love it, because I'm sure you've seen this dance and heard this song, which its numbers are going booming since this song went viral. We're gonna have fun to it, but let me not spill the tea. First, let's see, Mike Golic Jr., who's getting love this week when it comes to the world of the NFL?
It is time to find out. We figured out around here that we're just going to lean in being the millennials in the radio lineup, and we know we have a lot of our friends and a lot of us at certain times that have spent time miring in the friend zone, trying to find their way to the end zone in a lot of different circumstances. We figured we'd take that to the NFL, let you gonna know who is going to have some success this week. We've already had someone climb out of the friend zone.
Yes.
Let's see if it can happen again. That finish is so lovely, and then into the NFL film music. I'm, like, not exactly sure how this all plays.
I love it. I love it. It's, like, smooth. It's a smooth transition.
It is a smooth transition. So we're going to take a look at four matchups going into this weekend, see who we like to succeed or fail. What do we got up first? Colts at Browns this weekend, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and the Colts looking like it's going to be without its star linebacker, Darius Leonard, but still going up against that resurgent Browns offense that had a banner week last week. Chinee, what do you got, friend zone or end zone here?
Yeah, speaking of the offense, I'm going to put OBJ again in the end zone because OBJ is starting to look like the OBJ, the one that we love, or if you're all your haters out there, the ones you hate to love. OBJ, he became the first Cleveland player since Leroy Kelly and back in 1966 to produce a 30-yard receiving touchdown and a 50-yard rushing touchdown in the same game. So that's what we love to see from OBJ, being confident and being utilized the best way possible.
It was incredible to watch that end around back-to-back after an Amari Cooper end around and a two-point conversion. I knew I was watching a college football game in the NFL at that point. I'm going to go receiver on the other side, and I'm going to say friend zone, and this is surprising. I couldn't believe just how long the friend zone status has been for T.Y. Hilton. The great wideout for the Indianapolis Colts has now gone 15 straight games with fewer than 100 receiving yards. This dates all the way back to 2018. His last 100-yard receiving outing came, not surprisingly, when Andrew Luck was at quarterback. So it's going to be very interesting to see this Browns secondary. Can it hold up, or will Phillip Rivers in this passing attack and T.Y. Hilton finally get back on track? I don't think it is this weekend. Who do we got next? Vikings at Seahawks, Chinee. This is going to be the nightcap and a really interesting one here. A Minnesota Vikings team that started off rough has started to look more like itself as of late, going up against one of the best teams in the NFL and certainly one of the best leaders. Who do you have end zone or friend zone?
Well, our queen, Christine Lisi, would be very pleased that I've stayed consistent because Josh Allen made it out of the friend zone, right? So he's now in the end zone. And
yes!
So now for him to be able to be considered an MVP, at least have a quality type of season, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes also in the discussion. I'm going with Russell Wilson. This man has never won an MVP vote. And so when it comes to the story of the season and the success of the Seahawks, it's largely him because they've leaned into his abilities. He's thrown 16 touchdown passes this season, tied for the most in NFL history. Through a team's first four games. Put respect on his name. And if he keeps up at this speed, it will be a shoe. And it's going to be interesting to see if he's the first one to go from no votes to all the votes.
Going to be very interesting. It'd be hell of a turnaround for one season to make, but that's what happens when you finally let the offense run through the best player on your entire team. So I'm with you. Russell Wilson, a great bet to find the end zone. I'm going to go with a rookie on the other side for the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson right now leads all rookies in the NFL in receiving yards with 348. Actually, the rookie leaders for passing yards, rushing yards, and receiving yards all belong to former LSU Tigers. That would be Joe Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, along with Justin Jefferson. But we saw an explosive game, over 100 yards for him and Adam Thielen last week. Certainly going to get tested against this Seahawks team. But I like Justin Jefferson to continue to find the end zone. He was one of my favorite receivers coming out of the draft, and he is a guy I know resides on your fantasy team.
Thank you. That's why I'm so excited, because with all the injuries hitting the NFL, he was on my bench. Now he's in the starting lineup, and I need him to show out because I didn't start him that one game where he had like 7 receptions. And 50 million touchdowns.
There we go. Reward Chinee's loyalty, or in this case, lack thereof. It is Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. This is our weekend preview brought to you by Geico. It's October, and that means it's Geico-ween. Don't let your savings disappear. What do we got next? All right, Eagles at Steelers here. We know the Eagles, it has been a massive struggle, Chinee. So who do you got, friend zone or end zone here?
No one has hit the friend zone this season harder than probably Carson Wentz, right? and going up against the Steelers lead the NFL in sacks per game. And Wentz, you know, he struggled, I guess, in the pocket all season. And he's thrown a league-worst 7 interceptions. I think that matches his total from each of the past 3 years. So Carson Wentz, it seems like that's a safe pick. And hopefully he can make it to the end zone, and then he can be one of those few, in my opinion, like Josh Allen, that moved out.
It is, you know what, we hope that, because we want to see everybody win around here, but certainly you're right, it's been a disaster so far, quite frankly, for the Eagles in the worst division in football. I'm going to go end zone on the other side, and just because of what you said,
yes!
I saw our own Mina Kimes mention this on NFL Live. The Steelers rank 7th in the ESPN pass rush win rate stat. Carson Wentz is the 2nd-worst quarterback in the NFL when pressured this season. And when you look at T.J. Watt and this group of pass rushers, and I look specifically at T.J., Lane Johnson's been in and out of that lineup at times. We know on the other side, Jason Peters out at left tackle. Right now, they're starting converted rugby star Jordan Mailata. They're a mountain of a man, but someone going up against one of the fiercest pass rush groups in the NFL. I think it's going to be another week of feasting for one of the best defenses in football. And you know what? Let's finish it off. Let's go for a little college football at the end.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We don't have the graphic built out for that. Joke's on me.
Do it. Do it yourself.
Miami at Clemson.
And I'll start with the friend zone. For this game and this game only, the Miami turnover chain is in the friend zone because you're going up against Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he has the best tank moniker on our show for a reason. Win never for Trevor. That's his transition to the professional ranks. But for now, Miami, that turnover chain, you might need to just send it to the jeweler so we can get signed up and save the next
All those diamonds, so little shine this weekend. And Chiné, I'm with you on this one. Friend zone, I'm going to actually go with De'Aaron King on this one. And one of the most exciting players in college football, the transfer from Houston that has made Miami such a great team already, a top 10 matchup because of his presence. But I look at Clemson and what they've done historically and what they've done again this year. Restock that defense. Brent Venables and what he continues to do every year with the riches he's given. Five-star talent, freshmen showing up and showing out on that defensive line against a group up front in Miami that I think might have bite off a little more than it can chew in this situation. And I think as great as De'Aaron King is, he's got a force on the other side and one of the best defensive coaches in football that's going to be attacking him and trying to take away the best weapon on that offense. Whew. Fast and furious. We are caked in sweat. At least I am.
Oh my gosh, can we take a moment to appreciate your t-shirt? Because it's all that I sang, and that sounded horrible. Sorry, podcast listeners.
It happens every single time. Shout out to everyone listening to the podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, and review. Check that out. That is End Zone or Friend Zone. Getting everyone primed for this weekend, and we're excited for all of those mashups. But coming up next, I am more excited for a reprisal of Rick Ross grunts and ocean spray. We'll get to that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I tell you what. Cranberry juice cocktail is delicious.
Oh, what's the vibe? And I try to cheers you. Can you cheers me from a distance?
I think we're... Yeah,
cheers, my friend.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Boom.
Cheers, my friend. That is the ultimate vibe we just recreated. The viral video from whom the world is starting to come to love. Dogface. And obviously the iconic Fleetwood Mac song, Dreams. Right, Junior?
Yes, it's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And it really was like... incredible to watch the world embrace this. This is what happens, by the way, when we're not on air as my mouth salivates from all the sugar right now.
Like, I'm literally drinking more right now.
It is really good. I've been sipping it a lot during the show. We had this prepared already to go because when we're not on air for 4 days, all this viral stuff happens. We don't have time to react to it, so we had to put 10 pounds of you-know-what in a 5-pound bag at the end of the week here and try our best.
We had to do it for the culture, so great positive vibes. We're going to keep that same energy in a little bit, but first, you know, I had to add that song, Dreams, to my playlist immediately. And speaking of which, we have to show the squad some love, right? Because we had Ryan Smith, ESPN legal analyst, drop by, and he talked to us today about how he's hosting The Talk, which airs this Sunday for The Undefeated, which includes multiple athletes, voices beyond sports, including that of Jacob Blake's father. We also talked to Marcus Spears, who said this Sunday's game, speaking of Sunday, versus the Giants, is a must-win game, which I'm glad he finally embraced that. We should have played the gong for him. And we spoke to Dave Roberts, Dodgers manager, who broke down one of the best defensive plays by Cody Bellinger versus Tatis, which was super iconic. And of course, we had the boss. Oh, that was good. We had the boss, Rick Ross, join us, who pretty much signed me as his next rapper. So to listen to all those conversations, make sure you guys check out our Chynna and Golic Jr. podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. If not, you know, Rick Ross, you know, you'll have a chance to lose me to him.
You know what?
I belong to the streets.
She belongs to the streets now as we get ready for Friday around here. But you know what? I'm glad you brought up Rick Ross. Let's get right into keeping the same energy. We had Rick Ross on with us earlier, rapper and Miami sports fan.
This is not a drill. It's true.
We did, and we had him grading Chynna's attempt at the infamous Rick Ross grunt. Here that was.
So how was mine? Huh. How was mine?
Let me hear it one more time. Huh. You got potential. You got potential.
We got, signed by the boss.
We got real potential on this show. You got potential, Chynna.
Your turn. Go. Okay, wait. We're going to have a Ross off. Okay.
All right, you going first?
Me first.
All right. All right, pretty solid outing, pretty solid outing. Oh.
Nope, you stink. Everyone tell us right now, at Chynna, at Mike Golic Jr., make sure you hit us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Let us know who won. Let's try it again, round two, because I'm about to sweep you like the Dodgers did, you know, the Pods. Okay, ready? I win again.
My God. News from Chynna and Golic Jr. Nation hits us on that Dr. Pepper Twitter line there. Keeping that same energy and actually sticking with Twitter, this is some of the best news that we could have possibly seen, Chynna. We know Mark Cuban had gone out of his way to help former NBA star Delonte West, who last we saw was having a lot of issues and personal battles he was dealing with. Mark Cuban tweeted out earlier today, "Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Delonte West. A long, long, long way to go, but he has taken the first steps and shared these with all of us as a thank you for the love and support." It was a picture of Delonte West riding on horseback. We know he's been dealing with a lot. He's gone, you know, taking the steps in the process to get better with the help of someone like Mark Cuban. Great to see the NBA family. And we talked about this when we saw Delonte struggling, wrap their arms around him.
Yeah, this is one thing I love about sports. This is what I love about the basketball community too. You know, considering we've seen two instances in less than what, in 1 week, whether it's Delonte West getting a second chance, another chance to sort of have someone be there for him, the same way we saw, you know, the world rally around, and I say the basketball world here, Cappy Pondexter, and it's great to hear that she's safe and with family and friends as well. So that these are all great signs of energy heading to the weekend.
Absolutely. Great news all around on that front. We're really happy to hear that, and we're glad to see Delonte doing well and getting the help that he needs there. Speaking of doing well, let's go back on the field. We mentioned this earlier, Chynna. The NFL Research Twitter account tweeted this out. The rookie leaders in pass yards, rush yards, and receiving yards are all first-round picks from LSU. Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Justin Jefferson. Since 1970, no school has ever produced the rookie leaders in all three categories in the same season. So an incredible start for guys that we knew came correct and were going to ball.
I mean, when you have the best offense in the history of college football, y'all better produce. And that's 100% the reason why I chose Justin Jefferson, because I was like, look, this should be a layup. And so I'm seeing the best. I need him to keep that same energy, okay? Like, I've seen him. Let's keep it going, because fantasy football's tough these days.
It's hard out here in these fantasy streets right now. Chynna needs your help. So if he's listening, we hope he
can. You don't? What's your record?
Listen, I am nice in all of my fantasy leagues right now. But
I'm 1-3.
The struggle is all too real. Unless you are some of our friends. We mentioned the college game and the pro game joining together. How about this? Monday Night Football, we know we got two games this week. We have Broncos and Patriots on Monday night. And Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and our own Laura Rutledge going to be on the call for that game. So very cool to see one of our best college booth, Laura, who does such a great job on NFL Live, getting the chance to show up and show out on Monday
night. That's going to be so much fun. What are you doing this weekend? Do you have plans?
I am going
What are you doing in Connecticut? Having fun?
How dare you throw that in my face again? We're all going to figure that out. Get ready for Game 5 tonight. Spain and Fitz coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Chynna and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.